A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, stuff happened, and we weren't there to see it. But somebody made a movie about it, and now he has more money than pretty much everybody. Yes, this is Steven.
This is Chris.
And this is Kyle.
And you are listening to That Computer Show, your source for the latest in gaming and technology news. On today's episodic episode 197 of That Computer Show, we have got news of the biggest Star Wars release since last Wednesday. That was my, that was our awesome soundboard. Star Wars Uncut, the director's cut, a fan project years in the making. It's finally here. What is it? We're going to explain in moments. Kyle, you look confused. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
This is going to be so much fun. And to be fair to geeks everywhere, I'm going to hit you up with some Star Trek news as well. And to be fair to the internet, we've got some SOPA breaking news. Don't drop the SOPA.
NOPA.
Actually.
Or should you? All that and more on That Computer Show now with more blasters. No blasters. No blasters. That'd be great if we had sound. Okay, so. Should we start with the Star Wars news or should we start with the SOPA news?
Well, now you've got me curious, so it would be mean to
start SOPA. With the SOPA news. Okay, yeah. So in related SOPA news, SOPA, I see what I'm doing, Kyle. All right, see what Kyle's doing. Okay, so Chris, we talked about SOPA last week.
We did.
And I talked about SOPA on TV this past Wednesday when the internet did the blackout dance.
That was awesome.
It was pretty awesome. And man, we saw a scurrying of Republican and Democrat politicians changing their positions and changing their shorts as they lost tons of supporters.
Yeah, and I mean, because of the blackouts, so many people learned about SOPA and so many people called their state representatives.
It was
on
great.
That day. It was amazing. I think it was close to like 7,500 websites.
Yeah, over 7,000 websites went out. So it's pretty interesting, and looks like we've got some news on that. What do we know about this, Chris?
Well, we know that both the House and the Senate have basically dropped the bills. The Protect IP bill, actually, the vote on it was delayed earlier in the week.
Right.
Last week. But the SOPA bill has also been delayed. I think Protect IP is dead, but the SOPA bill, the SOPA bill, they're quote-unquote saying they're going back to the drawing board, which basically means they're going to go back and try and find a way to
sneak this in somewhere
else.
Yes,
do something with it later. And, you know, there's an interesting post on Reddit today about why is it that our elected officials are trying so diligently to take rights away from us and give them to private companies when there was their sworn duty to do just the opposite.
Private companies are people, too, apparently. Well,
I mean, granted, I am all about protecting the intellectual property of artists, publishers, authors, things like that. That's important. It really is.
Yo, definitely, definitely.
I mean, don't think that our ire for this bill.
Well, it's like I said the other
because
day.
Because we want to watch free movies on the internet.
It's like I said the other day. Piracy bad. Internet good.
Yeah, messing around with the structure of and basically the formula of the internet, the DNS system. That's bad.
Yeah. I mean, we see what happens and I'll use China as an example. I know that they're listeners. China, hi. I know you guys are fans. Thank you for tuning in. But all of you in China. But the Great Firewall of China, it's an oppressive force. They can shut you down. It doesn't matter why or what or if they can find a reason. And I think that a country that is, I don't know, we tout personal freedoms, and this is a pretty clear assault on it. But interestingly enough, though, the Department of Justice nuked Mega, and we'll talk about this later.
Because, this is big, because there's a lot of facets to that story.
The day later, the megaupload.com taken offline.
Actually, Jonathan Colton made a tweet about Mega Upload going down. It was pretty funny, yeah.
You might want to look that up and share it with us.
Yeah, I'll share it with you guys.
But anyway, so the SOPA news is somebody listened. We talked. Chris, Kyle, and I talked.
Yeah.
And someone listened. And
the internet listened.
I said some things on TV that in hindsight
were awesome.
Were awesome. They were. But I'm pretty sure that at least one of our representatives saw that segment. where I said that the people are smarter than Congress. So,
well, they're definitely not acting the part. You know, they need to represent, which is, you know, they need to represent what the will of their constituency
and
is.
And kudos for those that change their positions based on feedback.
You know, if your constituency says we want this particular bill or we don't want this particular bill, it is your duty to represent that. And you know, basically the internet, you know, we said, hey, this is wrong.
This is wrong.
And our elected representatives did what they were supposed to do and go, hey, you know what?
Maybe this is wrong.
The voters say they don't want this.
Well, and here's the thing. I think, and for any representatives that are listening, again, with love in my heart, if you're still supporting this because you think – I don't know why you would still be supporting this, but –
I have payments to make on that brand
new
Porsche.
My guess is, frankly, and I'm not casting accusations, and this is not a political thing, this is not a partisan statement, because I think that both Republicans and Democrats can easily be bought. It is either – I'm going to get in trouble. We'll take Collins in the second segment, so if you want to yell at me, you can. I think that anybody supporting this bill at this time is either grossly misinformed or on the take. I mean, yeah, I don't see how – you could support these bills if you have any level of understanding of the real situation, or B, someone has bought you and you've been bought.
Money talks.
You've been botted. So anyway,
and, Chris Dodd. He's
now,
like
who is the, Chris Dodd?
He's like the talking head of the Motion Picture
you
Association
may ask yourself.
of America. I'm going to quote him.
Oh, what did he went on, what, like Fox News or something like that?
Yeah, he was on Fox News the other day, and basically, he just laid it out. We all thought, you know, they're corrupt.
Do you have any quotes, any sound bites?
I do. Those who count on, quote, Hollywood for support need to understand that this industry is watching very carefully who's going to stand up for them when their job's at stake. Don't ask me to write a check for you when you think your job's at risk, and then don't pay attention to what I need when my job's at stake.
So basically he's saying, I'm a lobbyist and I'm buying you, and if you're not doing what I say, I want my money back. Yeah. Or I'm not going to give you more money. Well, what's interesting, though, is I see all of these movie stars and actors and actresses and rappers and singers and songwriters saying, SOPA sucks.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think a single one of those are having any financial difficulties because someone downloaded a low quality copy of their movie off of like the web somewhere.
I have
they came up with this number, $500 million in damages that just this one site.
Remind me, I want to rant about this maybe in the second segment about how Congress and because we have the solution, how Congress can protect intellectual property. So this is going to be the Chris and Steven SOPA V2. That's what we're going to call it.
Okay.
So we're going to tell you the secret to SOPA V2 in the second segment. We only have 1 minute left. I really want to talk about the Star Wars thing, man.
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about the Star Wars thing in a minute. I guess I'll give you the quick Star Trek news. It's not really awesome news. Okay.
That is so biased.
It's not biased. It's just true, and I've been paid to say that. okay. Filming on the second Star Trek movie has begun.
Yeah.
Production on the Star Trek sequel. It's
cool.
Official.
Cool.
That's flipping awesome. I'm super excited. And transparent aluminum is a near reality. We talked about this a while back.
Yeah, they had an aluminum alloy that had like 60% translucency
Yeah, they have
actually, and it was they had a the aluminum was transparent to certain wavelengths.
Yeah, this is different. This is
but
transparent.
Not light.
This is transparent on the visible spectrum. It is a ceramic hold on, what's it called? A aluminum-based ceramic, aluminum oxynitrite, almost as strong as metallic aluminum. It can stop a 50-caliber bullet with only 1.6 inches of thickness. So it's awesome. Okay, anyway, that is all for the first segment. You're listening from thatcomputershow.net. Or listening to WOIC 1230 AM. If you want to join in on the action, call us at 803-742-1230. Get your technology, your pop culture questions answered. We got a break, so... And we are back with more of That Computer Show. You're listening to us live from thatcomputershow.net as we broadcast out from under the rain-soaked skies of Columbia at the WOIC studios. It's raining, Kyle. And we're now taking call-ins. Call us at 803-742-1230 to get your questions answered. What did I call it? SOPA V2? It was Chris and Steven's SOPA V2. I'm going to write this down. And Chris's SOPA V2. So we'll talk about Steven and Chris's SOPA V2 in just a little bit.
Technologic.
That's good.
Technologic.
Really? So first I want to talk about this Star Wars Uncut Director's Cut. Because, you know, we talked about some Star Wars news last week. The 3D Star Wars Episode 1 is coming into theaters. To a theater near you.
In 3D.
In 3Ds.
In stereo surround.
But see, when I say
in color.
Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. There's only one D in that. Why are they saying there's 3Ds?
I don't know.
There's the D in episode is the only one I...
The D is silent.
They must be two silent Ds. Or they're cloaked.
Derp.
Okay.
The Force is... They're hidden by the Force.
Yeah, there you go. Star Wars Uncut Director's Cut. This is interesting.
This is quite interesting.
A crowdsourced project. Basically, it is a feature-length film that contains hand-picked scenes from the entire Star Wars Uncut.com collection. In 2009, Casey Pugh asked thousands of internet users to remake Star Wars A New Hope into a fan film 15 seconds at a time. Contributors were allowed to recreate scenes from Star Wars however they wanted. And
there are some really, really interesting and novel ways they recreate
the
scenes.
Yeah, I haven't seen the whole thing. I've only jumped around and skipped around and seen bits and pieces.
You haven't seen?
Anyway, it's going to be it looks really cool. The screenshot I'm looking at right now is two dudes in tinfoil and a badly made looks like an R2 unit, and it looks like
in one scene it's a shop vac.
So, yeah, this looks really great.
I love some of the sound effects that the engineers put in this when the director's cut, like when they're getting the map of the Death Star plans out of R2-D2.
Right.
Puts in a flash drive. It's doo-doo. R2-D2 makes that sound.
Bing, bing. Does he really?
Ding, ding.
So I'm going to link this. If you want to watch this, and you do, go to facebook.com/thatcomputerstore. This is awesome. We'll also link to it from thatcomputershow.net so you can check it out. But this is very, very entertaining. So that's my cool Star Wars news. I'm pretty much done.
That's it?
Yeah, we're done with the show, right? That was all.
Okay.
Oh, there's more? Yeah, there is more. Okay, so again, we're taking your call-ins, 803-742-1230. Get your questions answered. If you want to talk to us about anything, hopefully something that's relevant and something we can help you, you know, we know about it. SOPA V2. All right, here's the problem. SOPA says that it wants to stop online piracy acting, right? Basically, they want to stop online piracy.
I mean, that's good.
That is good. Well, as I see it, there's a core problem that Hollywood has. They're blaming a lot of this piracy on a subset of culture that no matter what you do, whether you use positive or negative reinforcement, no matter what you do, these people are going to pirate this stuff anyway.
Well, the reason they're going to pirate is because so difficult. When
that's not what I'm saying. Hold on. We'll cover that segment in a second. There's two segments. There's segment one, the universe, everybody, and then there's segment two, the people who, no matter how easy you make it, they're gonna do it to get their kicks. Now, I have had people in my past who have said, "Hey, man, I really want to download that album. That's some really great music." And I'd be like, "Hey, I've got an extra CD of that. You can have it." And they're like, "No, I'll just download it." But that's illegal. I'm giving you this CD. Legal. I paid for it. It's legal. You know, you can make MP3s of this CD, and it's legal. No, I'm just going to download it off a torrent. I mean, literally, when being offered legal, legitimate software or music or media, they're going to turn to piracy for some reason, because they get their kicks, because they're trying to stick it to the man, because their mommy didn't love them enough, whatever. Hollywood, you're not losing money to those people, because you're never going to make money from those people.
Those people would not have gone out and bought the CD to begin with.
Right. They're not going to go to your movie. They're not going to watch it on network television. They're not going to listen to your MP3.
Which I think is something that's the one variable they leave out of their equation when they try to figure out, oh, we've lost $500 million because of Meg of Upload. No, you didn't. You didn't lose a dollar.
I mean,
because the people that put their stuff up there and downloaded, they would have not bought the DVD.
Exactly.
You know, they're not going to do it.
Now, that being said, those people are in the wrong. And Kyle, I'm looking at you.
Jonathan but Coulson the number of is going to make a comment on our show. He says, any other musicians out there, notice that ever since they shut down Mega Upload, the money has just been pouring.
Well, okay, so we have a segment of the population that we're just going to ignore because they are, for purposes of...
And this segment of the population is very, very small, mind you. It's yeah. tiny.
Now, these are the people you need to be going after. But for purposes of Stephen and Chris's SOPA V2, we're going to ignore them. Now, the rest of the world, the good and hardworking, honest people that... And I'm going to use myself as an example. You watch the show Chuck. It's a fun show.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I'm going to have to pirate last week's episode.
Oh, yeah, because you can't
because
get it.
Because I pay for Time Warner Cable. I pay for my TiVo service. I told my TiVo to record Chuck in high definition, and it did. But for some reason, there was an error, and I got the show, and I got all of the background music, but there's no voice throughout the entire episode.
It glitched out.
It glitched out, and that sucks. So I went to Hulu because I pay $8 a month.
Yeah, you can use one of your alternative
– Yeah, so I'm actually paying for this content.
Yeah.
Twice.
Legal technical avenues
but
to get it.
Yeah, NBC cool. doesn't allow me to watch Chuck on Hulu Plus.
Wait, what?
So wait. So I said, well, that's really silly. I'll just go to NBC.com and where they say they have full episodes. And,
okay, yeah.
But I can't watch. They don't have that episode on NBC.com either. So I can't. Now, I could. I do have a fourth alternative. I could probably go to Amazon.com, pay $2.99 to download it in high definition.
But you've already paid for it.
After I've already paid $50 for Time Warner Cable and $12 for TiVo and $8 for Hulu Plus. Okay, guys, come on. And I'm actually on your side and you're doing this to me. Media industry, where are your heads? Where to quote the band, where is your mind? Because... Yeah. What the heck?
You didn't lose $500 million because of Mega Upload. You lost $500 million because you didn't make the media that we want so bad available for us to buy.
I mean, okay, you make media for people to consume. We are called consumers because we consume this media. And in our country, television shows are basically vehicles for advertising. They really are. So,
yeah, we don't ever pay for broadcast TV except with our attention span. That's our penance.
With some exceptions like HBO and things like
Yeah, that's
but the general
TV
rule is yeah. So
I am
actually eager to watch these commercials like this Star Wars K-9 Dark Side commercial that we're going to talk about. But you're actually denying me the opportunity to consume your advertising by restricting my ability to access this content. That is the definition of asinine. That is silly, and SOPA doesn't touch that.
No, it doesn't make it any easier for us to legitimately get access to content.
Now, Stephen and Chris's SOPA V2 says, and I quote, I got to think of it first, content providers should be required to provide reasonable and varied access to paid content.
Yeah, if you pay for it, you should be able to get to it.
Who cares if I watch it on my laptop or on my awesome 3D TV or on my iPad or whatever. Who cares? Who cares if I pay $3 for the show and Kyle looks over my shoulder and he watches the advertisements too? You just got two people watching your content, consuming your advertising for the price of one. You should be paying me at this point.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we're geniuses. So, and I, again, call us, 803-742-1230. Give us your outlook on this. If you have tried to watch a show and been blocked by the media industry, tell us your stories. I want to know about it because I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one because every time I go on this rant, I get like people singing hallelujah
me too,
and praise.
Me too.
Yeah. So that's the core of Stephen and Chris's SOPA V2. If you want to stop online piracy, make your content easily accessible.
Now, I want us to talk a little bit about the Mega Upload thing.
Let us, yes.
Because here we are, we're ranting, we're really upset at SOPA. SOPA's bad.
I'm so pissed at SOPA.
Okay, and then the next day after they say, okay, you know, we've changed our position on SOPA, boom.
The Department of Justice brings down the ban hammer.
Yeah, and they've been investigating Mega Upload for some time. Now, Mega Upload, if you're not familiar, is sort of like a online storage for
it's
files.
It's like a big honkin' Grand Central Station locker room.
Yeah, It's a data locker. You can put code. In fact, XDA developers, the XDA developer forum, there's 200,000 apps in that data locker. They're gone. You know, that forum used to use Mega Upload as a place to store
right.
developing code. It's gone. Its sister site, however, of Mega Upload, a component of it, it's called Mega Video, and it's mainly what was the reason this was taken down was because of the blatant piracy.
Because it and this and, is not, I mean, I do have a little problem with Mega Uploads. But
I have actually a big problem with Mega Upload. Once you look at exactly what these guys were up to, this is exactly why we need legislation that blocks this activity, but then reinforces, like you were saying, we really want to watch our content.
I do. I want to watch Chuck. I'm dying to Hollywood, see that last episode. Bo Derek
Hollywood and the record industry, they need to wake up and smell the coffee. The net has made things different. They need to grow up. But these guys here at Mega Upload, the execs at Mega Upload were paying people to upload content, basically.
Interesting.
Like movies. You had to also be a premium member in order to stream anything over 72 minutes long, basically a full-length movie.
Huh.
So there was some piracy going on here. And they were making money off of people uploading movies to the site,
right.
which is bad. And they were living lavishly. Mercedes Benzes all over. Like,
well,
they had 50 Mercedes and yachts. And
the Department of Justice did say, hey, terrorists are using this service.
I'm going to read the I have a quote here.
Okay.
For example, the indictment points out that Mega Upload did not have a – okay, wait. That's not the one I wanted to read. The one I wanted to read was about all the vehicles and things and how lavishly these guys were living.
Mm-hmm.
It's on a different tab. They had boats, cars. These guys were making tons and tons of cash.
Mm-hmm.
Off of, you know, other artists' work. It's the very definition of piracy. And,
so, bad things happening.
Yeah. So they needed to go to jail. But the way this was – the backlash is really kind of what I want to talk about.
Well, I've seen a lot of musicians basically – like, who's it? She's the black R&B girl. I can't remember her name. But she sings. And people listen. And she's like, I use it. I upload stuff to that all the time. And we've had
Busta Rhymes came out and said that, you know, he was against the takedown of SOPA. But, I mean not SOPA, but Mega Upload.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that they should have gone a little more surgical with the takedown, or at least allow certain people to get their files back. What do you do if you know, you're a community of game developers, for example, and this is how you trade your code. These people are now cut off from their work.
Well,
these were legitimate uses of the service.
Did you hear what Anonymous did in response?
Yes, they fired away at several websites, and I'm actually a little upset at this because I don't think that this was an appropriate reaction to the Mega.
No, it's a war of escalation.
Yeah, and I think the Department of Justice taking down Mega Upload may have been hasty and probably necessary, but you know they should be more clear as to why. Because if you're not clear about why you're doing this and basically saying, hey, these guys were really doing some...
Especially on the tail of the SOPA thing.
Yeah. You're going to upset those
Somebody
people...
Somebody in public relations is losing their
who,
job.
...who think you're just trying to take away their free movies,
right.
which, you know, you kind of are. And that, you know, you kind of should. But, yeah, they... The Anonymous... network of hackers and crackers took down a number of sites. What was it? MPAA, RIAA's websites,
Department of Justice, FBI, MPAA, RIAA, U.S. Copyright Office, the White House, Senator Chris Dodd, Universal Music, Vivendi France, Warner Music Group, and several other foreign agencies similar to the RIAA. Most of them are back online. Universal Music's still down, and several others are loading very slowly.
Wow.
And I don't necessarily support that.
That's pretty extreme, but...
I don't know. I mean, somebody just doesn't get it. Somebody maybe needs to lose their job because they're pointing the entire media industry in the wrong direction. As I was saying earlier, I know that Mega Uploads, the Department of Justice also accused Mega Uploads of being a forum that enables the trading of like foreign secrets, and like spies are putting on pictures with codes that have like bomb information, crazy weird James Bondian stuff, and that's possible. And frankly, you know, if
make a movie about it, you could probably recoup that $500 million, you know, in ticket sales.
But I mean, if the guys are doing bad things, by all means, stop them. But not smart, guys. I don't know. So, in related news, farting boats improve fuel efficiency.
Say again?
Farting boats improve fuel efficiency. Don't make me say it three times fast. I might mess it up.
They get pretty good gas.
Get good gas mileage, yeah.
Oh, man.
It's terrible. It's super cavitating technology.
Oh, so it's not like wind power.
No, it's basically they're using bubbles to help reduce hull friction.
I'm familiar with this. They did this with the underwater missiles and
yeah.
Basically, a torpedo that
has a bubble in front of it and it goes
near
faster.
The speed of sound underwater.
Yeah. It's a new generation of cargo ships is going to use lots of little bubbles, not scrubbing bubbles. That's different. It's going to improve fuel efficiency by up to 25%. Mitsubishi's air lubrication system. This doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't.
Uses an array of powerful air pumps to blow lots and lots of little bubbles through holes in the bottom of the ships. The bubbles create a barrier that reduces friction and drag. So, kind of cool. And also, apparently, for cargo ships that don't care about moving a lot faster, they can slash their fuel consumption by a quarter while reducing their CO2 emissions.
Wow. So that's really good.
It just uses, like, just air just from the atmosphere, or does it use a compressed gas of some kind? I'd imagine it would just use air.
Just a bunch of air compressors. It doesn't say specifically, at least not on this link.
And I wonder what that may or may not do to, if a lot of boats are using this over long distances, due to the, I guess, the gas.
The acoustic footprint?
Well, that too, but also the gas concentration in the water.
Oh, I don't know.
As the boats go by, you know, the amount of oxygen and nitrogen that will.
Well, I don't. That's a good
solution.
That's an interesting question.
I'm sure the Mitsubishi guys have probably.
And I would imagine it's probably pretty negligible because this probably isn't much different than waves crashing on the ocean.
Yeah, the aeration of that is probably not any different.
But that's an interesting. Yeah, it's an interesting point. It's an interesting aside. I don't know.
Hmm.
We have a couple minutes left.
Yep.
Okay, I have another piece of cool news. It's also space water fighter news.
Space.
Looking at this from device.com, a jet-powered aquatic space fighter designed to take on
I think that just that qualifies as
pirates.
Having all of the awesome.
Okay, so did they duct tape? You said jet-powered aquatic space fighter?
It is the Ghost high-speed attack boat. It has jet engines, heavy weapons payload.
When you're in water in space?
Yes.
At the same time?
No. It looks if you look at it,
it does look like a spaceship.
It looks like something.
Can it
looks
take
like
off?
It can actually raise itself out of the water to pounce on unwary buccaneers. Quote: They can, it can jump on you. Yeah, it's awesome.
That just made me that.
You just like
glee filled.
You did. You
pounce.
I saw glee.
Did they use pounce?
They said pounce in this. Yeah, awesome.
You just imagine like a boat like
powered by high performance jet engines. It also uses super cavitating technology, so it farts. Let's see. It can lift itself on its wings or pontoons to get the hull entirely out of the water to navigate in shallow waters. It has several thousand pounds of Gatling guns, Mark 48 torpedoes, radar. Let's see, radar reducing cross section.
But can you ski behind it?
I don't know, man.
There's not a sun deck on this thing,
dude. This thing
it doesn't
is
look
awesome.
Like anything I would really want to have on the lake because I would want to like kick it with a beer. And there's no like place to do that on this boat.
I'm pretty sure if you're hunting pirates, that's probably not really.
Oh, this is for hunting pirates. I thought we were going to take this out on Lake Murray
and hunt pirates. If there are pirates on SOPA V3, if there are pirates on Lake Murray, we're coming for you in our Ghost fighter ship.
I wonder if there are any pirates on Lake Murray. What would they be pirating? We're taking over this pontoon boat. Hand over all your Budweiser.
We're gonna take all your Palmetto, Clemson, and Carolina stickers. Yar.
Yeah, and then leave them for death in the middle of Lake Murray. Oh, no, we must swim to shore.
500 feet. Yeah, so whatever. This thing's pretty awesome looking,
though,
man.
Could make a great independent film.
Yeah, it could.
Subtitled.
I don't know. Okay, farting boats. Star Wars canine chorus. How much time do we have?
We got like
a minute.
Yeah, a little less than a minute.
All right. This is going to be another link that we can't quite make you understand this on the radio, so you're going to have to go watch this. This is actually a BMW preview for a Super Bowl commercial. That's actually a commercial to get you excited and have you look forward to the commercial that's going to be on the Super Bowl.
Man, I like the Super Bowl.
For the commercials alone,
yeah, exactly.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, because last year you had that little Darth Vader boy, the little baby Darth Vader, the toddler who was using the Force.
That was great.
Yeah, this is awesome. It is a series of dogs barking a familiar tune. It comes complete with an AT-AT Weimaraner and a Darth Labrador. It's very cute. It's very cool.
We'll link to it.
Yeah. That's going to be all for the second segment of That Computer Show, broadcasting live from AM 1230 WOIC and streaming from thatcomputershow.net. We're going to be back after the break with more news and knowledge, and we'll take your call-ins and questions at 803-742-1230. Don't be afraid.
I was about to say, don't be a scared.
We don't bite. Actually, we do, but not hard. It's cool. Stay tuned. Sit tight. That Computer Show will be right back.
Touch it, bring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, start, format it, buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it.
And we are back with more That Computer Show. You're listening to us live from thatcomputershow.net as we broadcast once again from WOIC AM 1230. Alrighty, got some interesting customer service, people, consumery news. How much coffee do you think you consume in a year?
In a year?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Twice as much as you think. I'm just saying that.
Twice as much as I think?
Probably.
I would say probably like it had to be measured in tens of gallons.
Yeah.
The average American worker spends nearly $1,100 per year on coffee.
That sounds about right. I probably drink...
No, that's only like 30 cups of Starbucks, so...
I probably drink about a cup a day, roughly.
Wow. It looks like younger people, ages 13 or 18 to 34, are paying about $10 more per week on coffee than their 45 and older counterparts, $24 versus $14. And apparently 66% of the workforce buys their midday meal rather than packs their lunch at an average cost of $37 per week. Actually, where are they getting their lunch, man? Because my lunch is way more expensive than that.
$37 a week? They must go to, like, Walmart.
Yeah, I don't know. This is all according to the Accounting Principles' latest Workonomics survey. Do we have a call? Hi, caller. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Question.
Hit me.
Thank you for being on the air. I love technological shows. To give you useful information instead of stuff about aliens from outer space.
Well, they listen, too, but... Thank you for the compliment.
Yeah, I appreciate the program. It's the one delight that you find on air. There's so much other just junk.
Well, that's kind. Do you have a question for us today, or are you just trying to butter
really
us up?
I do. In fact, I want some in-depth help.
Okay.
Do you have encryption on your computer to encrypt files?
Most Windows-based computers at this point do have some form of encryption on their computer. It's not necessarily super easy to get to, but I don't really use it a whole lot. I just don't let anybody touch it. I keep my grubby hands on it.
Yeah.
Well, a friend of mine wants me to use encrypted email and stuff because he says once it gets out on the internet, it is public property.
That's probably not entirely correct, but...
Yeah, it depends on where you're publishing it. Like, if you put it on Facebook or Twitter or a website, yes, it is public.
But the majority of email
is... sending an email, that's private.
Yeah, it is. But the majority of email is unencrypted, so if someone were listening in on your transmissions, they could hypothetically intercept your email. So
there are applications that will encrypt your email in both directions.
Such as?
I am not familiar right off the top of my head, but...
What about... I think GPU.
PGP, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's part of it. I think the file suffix is .gpu or something like that.
I'm going to do a quick search for you. Email encryption. Wikipedia's got a pretty interesting article on email encryption. And there are some email services, to go back on what I said a minute ago, some email services will actually use a secure tunnel for transmitting that email up and down.
Yeah, SSL.
Yeah. And actually, we're starting to see a shift where a lot of data on the internet is encrypted. And frankly, I think that it should all be encrypted. I mean, it's very low resource. There's not a lot of impact on the system to encrypt that.
Yeah. What this does when your email service uses SSL, the message itself isn't encrypted before it's sent. The data stream, when you send the message, as it goes across the internet, it gets encrypted. So right. It's sort of like, you know, in the movies where they set up the little briefcase and the little satellite and enable encryption. And that connection between your computer and the server that the email lives on is encrypted.
Yeah.
Just like when you do a bank transaction on your website, there's a little S at the end of HTTP at the top of the screen, and you might have like a green icon or whatever, the logo of your business in the site in green on your browser. That right. shows that you have a secure encrypted connection between your browser and the server that's giving you the page.
So I think a real challenge with encrypted email, and I think why it really hasn't taken off, is if you're using a third-party program to encrypt your email,
yeah.
the only people that can decrypt your email is someone who's using that same or a compatible software. So if
and
I
then you send, also have to send them what's called the shared key, which is a shared component so that they can basically decrypt the site.
Yeah, so if I wanted to send you an email saying, hey, man, let's go get dinner, but you're on your smartphone and you don't have that software to decrypt it, suddenly I'm sitting there alone and you're not getting Indian food, Chris, because I was going to buy, but you didn't get the email.
Safe is having your passwords and bank accounts in an encrypted file on your computer?
Well, I think that's a good idea. I mean, I think that if you're going to keep that information in a digital format, which most people do, you know, I think you should take reasonable precautions to keep it protected, especially with a lot of the viruses that we see right now that will actually scan a computer for tasty bits of information and send them to the bad guys. So, yeah, no, I think it's a good idea. Even if you do something as simple as putting it in an encrypted zip file or, you know, a PGP encrypted file so that the average Joe just can't crack it open and see what your bank information is. I think that's a very good idea. I think it's very prudent to take just a little bit of extra precaution to afford you those protections.
Well, I have been storing that information, passwords and bank accounts, because I like online banking.
Mm-hmm.
I've been storing that on a thumb drive, but that's sort of inconvenient, plugging that thing every time you need to you know, log into your...
Right, yeah.
And I'm thinking of using these encrypted files. When you do send an email encrypted, does that send out a red flag to the government, hey, this is a terrorist or something?
No, because there's one of our clients is an insurance company, and they're an insurance brokerage firm, and they have to, every email they send has to be encrypted because they are sending information, and actually the government has laws that basically say you have to encrypt this information. So no, there's a lot of traffic on the internet, and a lot of it is encrypted. More and more of it is encrypted, but that is a very good question because, you know, I guess you think, well, if I'm encrypting everything, yeah. maybe I've got something to hide.
Now granted, if you were sending a lot of encrypted emails to a server in Croatia or Estonia,
well, that might
Syria,
change things.
Yeah, then that just the destination of your email.
Yeah,
and.
That's more
like
liable to if you're sending a bunch of stuff to Krapalakistan, that's going to be a bigger red flag than just sending encrypted email because a lot of stuff is encrypted nowadays just for relative safety.
Well, I would imagine all those people would not send it to Croatia. They'd send it to Brazil or somewhere and then to somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm not an international criminal, so I'm not exactly sure how that would all work out. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, just sending an encrypted email, that's cool.
How safe is that stuff from hackers and from governments and everybody?
You know,
safe if you have the keys?
Like with anything in our modern world, you know, if somebody wants to get into your house bad enough, if they want to get into your computer bad enough, you know, there's going to be a way. Nothing is in my opinion, nothing is completely secure. I think a small amount of reasonable paranoia. Good browsing habits and, you know, just being safe on the web is going to afford you better protection because a lot of the bad guys looking to just steal your money, they're going to find a juicier target the next house over.
The path of least resistance. And if you afford yourself just even moderate resistance to that, you know, encrypting emails, securing your passwords. Don't tell anybody your passwords.
Right.
You've already afforded yourself about 99% of the security you'll need.
Unless you like have a Van Gogh or something super, super valuable that somebody is specifically targeting you for. But at that point, you're going to be the subject of a season finale for leverage.
Well, the way I figure it, when you open an encrypted document, does that leave the document in and then delete it? You have to delete it. The government or hacker or anybody has access to it once you open it, right?
If you open it on a machine that's compromised, but the general rule is for technology is if you see it on TV, 1/10 of what you see on TV is probably feasible for someone with a high level of knowledge. Like, I love that show Leverage, and they do things on Leverage that are just super amazing and awesome, but none of it is real, not for 99% of the planet. Yeah. Are we almost out of time, Kyle?
Well, what are you talking about on TV? I haven't seen those programs.
Oh, it's a great show. It's called Leverage. I think it's on TBS.
Is it about hacking or?
Well, it's about con men and hacking and grifters, and they're basically bad guys helping people, and it's a fun show. It's called Leverage. So thank you for calling. We unfortunately are out of time. What a great conversation, though. That's all the time we've got for this week's That Computer Show. We'll be back next week with more That Computer Show, Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WOIC. Hit us up during the week at thatcomputershow.net to get downloads, blog posts, past episodes, and more. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TCS Joe. Tweet with us and join in on the fun. Also, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/thatcomputerstore. If you're not our Facebook friend,
you're not a good person.
Oh, I'm not going to run out of time this week. We did last week.
No, we're good. You can breathe easy.
So until that was a really great. Thank you, caller, for calling in. I'm sorry you ran out of time. That was a cool conversation. So yes, until next week, ladies and gentlemen. This is Steven.
This is Chris.
And this is Kyle.
And you have been listening to That Computer Show.
Yeah.